Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown, a podcast that talks about comic book story arcs. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
How you been, bud?
Oh, not too bad. And yourself?
Busy with work.
I'm waiting for, you know, like some actual fall weather to hit in.
I'm okay with weather we got. All this, I mean, we had a ton of rain yesterday, which was kind of cool. Seeing it at work, because I sit by the, my job is right there by the door. So I was watching it as the rain came in.
It was completely
dark. Then the sun popped out for like 5 minutes. It got completely dark again.
We were out playing Pokemon Go yesterday, and like it was raining, you know. And I'm like, hey, look, I was like, you can kind of see the sun over there. You know, we all turn around and like you get this like, oh, and like it's, I mean, it was freaking, you know, yellow, like just all the way across, and then storming again. And I'm like, yeah, oh, time to put the umbrella back up.
At one point, one of my coworkers, Fred, he hopped outside and was looking at the skyline. And he's like, it looks like Independence Day 4 out there when the alien ships come burst through the clouds. So naturally, I had to go out there and look, and yeah, it was pretty awesome. But yeah, so we're here today. We're doing some more comic books, obviously. And today we are doing Uncanny X-Men issues 54 through 59. They were published by Marvel in 1969. The writers were Arnold Drake and Roy Thomas. Pencils were Don Heck, Warren Roth, and Neil Adams. Inks were done by Vince Coletta and Tom Palmer. And the letters were done by Gene Izzo, Herb Cooper, Sam Rosen, and Artie Semek. So let's go ahead and get into the first issue here, which is issue 54.
Cyclops Must Die.
Yeah, that was cover. The actual title apparently is
Dead or Alive.
Wanted, Dead or Alive, Cyclops. Yeah. And we start out, Cyclops is waking up in a, looks like a museum, Egyptian portion of the museum. And he
is a stereotypical Egyptian portion of the museum.
God, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that in these issues. But again, this is 1969. I mean,
they didn't have to worry about stuff like that because, you know. Yeah.
Well, they, yeah, you know,
they didn't care. They just, it was just, you know.
Yeah. But he's waking up, and he has these, I'm assuming they're cops because they have guns.
Yeah, but they also look like security guards.
Exactly.
But maybe back in the 60s, you know, stealing Egyptian hieroglyphs was a big thing, and, you know, they needed armed security.
Maybe.
Because, I think they didn't have stuff like they've got now where, you know, you've got.
The glass and the 8 feet of laser grid. But yeah, so he wakes up and the security guards are having guns or pointing guns at him, or cops are pointing guns at him.
Yeah, cops. We'll call them cops.
And they're saying that he murdered a man. And I like that he has enough time to reminisce and remember what exactly happened that day to get him to this point. Yeah. Because he's like, I didn't murder anybody. That's not me. How did I get here?
He's like, wait a second. It all started when...
So we flash back to earlier that morning where he is going to the college graduation of his little brother, Alex. Him, along with Gene and Hank and Bobby and Warren, they're all at the graduation. Apparently, they had no idea either that Scott had a kid brother. That would be because this is Alex's first appearance.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, come on. You can't really have a kid brother and not have him show up until, you know, you need him, right?
Exactly. Well, okay, so before we move on, though.
Are you talking about the montage in his head?
No.
So he is in a memory memories.
Inception, man. Inception. That is kind of cool. That's kind of funny. No, I was going to bring up right here where he's having the montage. He makes mention that Alex is a mutant.
Huh. You're right, it does.
And then, like, at the end of next issue, he's surprised that Alex is a mutant, so...
Well, actually, once we get to it, he actually goes through and talks about, like, you know, I was hoping he wouldn't be a mutant because...
Well, yeah, but there's also another point where maybe he's not a mutant. So, we'll get to that when we get to it. But I just wanted to point that out here to later on. But after graduation, they're basically coming up to Alex and being like, hey, man, let's go get out of
that. Was this college or was this high school?
I'm hoping college.
Because he talks about going and getting him a beer.
Well.
And either, you know, he was really dumb and got held back a couple years, or...
In the 60s, man. Free love and all that.
Fair enough. I guess he
had no, I'm pretty sure it's college. Only because he's got his own room, his own dorm room.
No, I guess that's true.
Not that it doesn't say much, because I know there's a couple of high school either comics or movies or TV shows I've seen where they had their own rooms. But I'm pretty sure it's college. But as Alex
is going to change out of his, you know,
rope and gown.
Yeah, cap and gown.
There you go.
He gets jumped by, I kid you not, two, you know, Egyptian guard-looking dudes.
Yeah.
Like, full-on guard, you know, the headpieces, the armbands, the miniskirt. And those are dudes, by the way.
I was going to say toga, but that's
no, Roman. Toga's Roman, yeah. And it's long, and it actually covers things.
Everything, yeah. So the X-Men
burst into the scene.
Yeah, and they're wondering where Alex is at. And Jean is able to pick up the mind patterns of the last people in the room, I guess. Powers, sure.
Dude, look, she's got mental powers. For all we know, she can do everything with her mind.
Yeah.
And yet, what? Nothing at times.
Again, this is way before things went crazy for her. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
We go to the next page, and... My assumption is they were able to get the Egyptian guards were able to get Alex from his room into
the museum.
This exhibit, I guess.
Yeah.
My first question is, how close is this exhibit to
the college?
The college? Maybe it could be on campus.
Yeah, it could be on campus. It could be like part of their library
exhibit.
Something. Yeah. Anyways.
Either way, it's. It was just kind of...
No, what gets me...
Okay, go ahead.
I think that, you know, two grown men dressed, you know, in bright red and white, well, like I said, mini skirts with, you know, the
head vest.
The headdress.
Headdress, thank you.
Carrying a, you know, unconscious body. Wait. But we forgot. Okay, because I completely forgot. When they jump him, he has a ring of silence...
Which is literally just a freaking ring of gas.
Yeah, it's got freaking
powder or something.
Some kind of sleeping powder in it, but it was the ring of silence and he didn't even have to roll to use it. I was disappointed in that. But
what I find funny is that once they get him to the exhibit, who changed him from his robes to his own little skirt?
I didn't think about that. Those fucking perverts. It's probably a good thing it was college and not high school, or they'd have some charges against them.
Yeah. but they brought Alex to the Living Pharaoh. Or is it just called the Pharaoh?
I think he's called the Living Pharaoh.
So that's what I thought too. But then I know at some point he calls himself the Pharaoh, so. But we're going to go with Living Pharaoh, because I think that's what I found in my research. He was called Living Pharaoh.
That seems legit.
So...
Anyways,
the Pharaoh,
he says that basically, you know, in order for me to keep what I my special natural powers, I have to sacrifice you.
Oh, here we go. See, and this even the Living Pharaoh knows that Alex is a mutant.
Yeah,
because he says it right there. This one, like myself, is a mutant.
Yeah,
how can people just don't understand,
dude? This is what happens when you don't go back and read shit when you're adding to it. All right. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, I got you.
Even,
I got you.
Even in books, like series of books, you'll catch a
couple of mishaps here.
One of the series of books I read, it was like, you know, this and this and this happened, and then you read later on, and it's like, and he says, oh, but you know, I got this because of this and this, and it's like,
no dude, you didn't.
Three books ago, it was because of this.
Yeah.
So why the fuck is it changing now?
Yeah.
And like it's. It infuriates the hell out of me, especially when it's written like this. Because, like, if it was something I was just talking about, like, for instance, with D&D, I don't write down everything that I do.
No.
But, like, this is literally stuff they had written down, printed, sent out, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you could literally pick this up and make sure
just
you're
come through real quick.
Storyline.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that one.
And it's just lazy writing.
That's fair. So as the Living Pharaoh is getting ready to kill Alex... He gets...
Oh, dude, wait. I also have to point this out. This dagger that he's got here in his hand, look how little it is right there in the first picture, and then it turns into, like, a fucking sword in the next picture.
Yeah.
Like, two hands.
Well, he's just using it hand over hand.
Okay, fair enough. But if you look at how big the blade is right there.
Yeah, it's definitely thicker than it should be. That's not a dagger.
It's a dagger. It's a sword. It's a dagger.
But this dagger gets blasted out of his hands, which I'm assuming is blasted by Cyclops.
But see, if you look at it, though, it's not an actual optic blast. It looks like something was thrown at him.
Yeah, but there was nothing...
Exactly.
Flying away.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I was confused by this, too.
It doesn't have like, the normal color of the, optic blast.
Well, we'll get to that here next issue when he bounces off the wall. But you're not wrong. You're definitely right. It's definitely an odd picture.
And it also says crack.
So maybe...
Which, that's why I really thought there was something thrown, but then you look and there's literally nothing there.
Yeah, and there's what could have been thrown... Well, you know, it's possible that Iceman could have threw something at him.
But it says right here, it feels like the 10,000 volts of lightning.
Which is why I thought it'd be Cyclops shooting him.
My first thought, I won't lie to you, even though I know she's not there, was Storm.
Ah, smart.
Like,
now, she has come in for another 12 years.
Yeah, I'd say it was a while.
Yeah. But so the Living Pharaoh flips around and sees the X-Men, and fight ensues. So, everybody's just... attacking the Egyptian guards and the Pharaoh himself. One thing I find funny is that he's using like magic tricks. I'm using quotations here, magic tricks.
Yeah. And then who is it that keeps calling him out on all that shit? Is it Bobby?
It's Bobby, yeah.
Okay,
it's
X-Man. He's like, watch as I use my magic. And Bobby's like, that's not magic, you're a mutant. And then he's like,
it's a mini smoke bomb, dude.
And then I drop this magic amulet, and Bobby's like, that's not magic, that's a smoke bomb. And then he hits the hidden button that releases his guards.
Now, it's like, I'd hate to be those guards.
No shit. Who puts a fucking guard inside of a sarcophagus? And
how long were they there?
Hey, like, just waiting? I have to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Silence, fool.
But so the guards come out and they attack the X-Men. X-Men are still fighting. It's basically Iceman, Angel, and Beast fighting all the henchmen as Cyclops and Jean, mainly Cyclops, is fighting the Living Pharaoh. Jean does... Well,
right here, they're orange now. His optic blasts.
See? Yeah. See? So, yeah. But right here, Cyclops boasts that have no intent of stopping. Very next panel, I'm starting to get weak.
He's a tough opponent. My optic beams are starting to weaken.
Yeah. I noticed that a lot in these issues. Everybody was getting weak, and then they... all of a sudden got a second burst of energy.
Oh, see, what happens is in the games, when you pick up those little capsules, they give you more mutant powers to use again.
Yes, games.
Yeah, that's what it was totally going
on. Oh, okay. That's fair. Jean tries to use her mental wave to knock the Pharaoh.
Is it just me, or does she always seem like she's trying to seduce you when she's using her magic power, or her mental powers?
Yeah, no.
Like every yeah.
Okay. I think she is.
Okay, good. I just didn't know if it was just me because she was a redhead.
This is definitely the Marvel girl...
Yeah.
Costume, obviously, and it's very seductive.
Yeah. Plus, you know, red hair, green suit. Yeah, you know, it's just... Anyways, yep.
But she uses her mental waves to try and get the Pharaoh off balance.
Which works for a second.
Really just a second. And then
he throws up a sonic wall.
His powers, man.
But...
I didn't know exactly what his powers were.
They're Havoc's powers.
But I didn't know what Havoc's powers were.
Fair enough.
I was never a big X-Men fan.
Yeah, well, you DC people.
I know. It happens. But yeah, he's able to send
he calls it a sonic wall.
Okay.
And like, it's bouncing her brainwaves back at her.
Well, it's bouncing at not just her, but all the X-Men in general. And it basically stops them from being able to pursue as the Living Pharaoh and his
bodyguards
run off. They free Alex, and Cyclops says, you know, he's got to go unchain his brother. And Alex is like, brother, you mean my brother Cyclops? The mutant hero? Oh, man, I never knew. Because he didn't know he was a mutant.
Okay, but fair enough. But, like, you got to wonder if they never see each other.
First appearance, man.
No, like, personal life, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, how would you not notice that no matter where your brother's at, he's always got, you know, sunglasses
red
on.
Tinted
yeah,
sunglasses.
Exactly. Like always.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, but Beast suggests that he lets Cyclops and Alex to themselves. They're going to go back to, I'm assuming, the mansion. And that these guys talk. Okay, cool. So the rest of the X-Men walk away. These two are sitting there talking.
And, okay, so as he's explaining...
Trying to. I don't know the words to say. I've been wanting to tell you for so long.
Look, I've got to kind of brush this off until, you know, something else can happen. But, like, the Pharaoh comes up behind him and uses, what does he call it? The
Pharaoh's Eye.
The Curse of the Pharaoh's Eye. And Cyclops, even Cyclops, as he's, you know, slowly passing out, is like, it's some kind of... what does he call it? A hypnotic beam or something?
The Pharaoh's eyes are hypnotic gems. I'm blacking out.
Yeah, and it's like, come on, really?
But, I mean, hey, it does a job, because then this is when we open up with the issue. Cyclops is waking up. Cops are saying he murdered somebody, and then they pan over to see that the living Pharaoh is dead.
Living dead.
Oh. He's definitely a dead Pharaoh now. So, Cyclops is like, well, I didn't kill him. Alex must have killed him. I need to go find Alex. So, instead of trying to talk to these cops...
He blasts their guns out of their hands with optical beams and knocks their asses out.
Yeah. I'm assuming at least half hour to an hour has passed.
Some time has
passed. From the time that he passed out, or from the time Pharaoh knocked him out to the time that he wakes back up. Because we see the X-Men, I'm assuming, back at the mansion, or at least in a room somewhere.
Yeah.
They've already changed clothes back to their city clothes, and then they hear on the radio that the police are looking for Cyclops because he murdered somebody. Oh, and he assaulted police officers.
Yeah, and assaulted two police officers. And here, okay, this panel right here, when they're after they're talking about the news article,
mm-hmm.
I have no idea why they even needed to put in this article or the panel with
the helicopter.
Helicopter,
yeah.
Because, like, I thought it was gonna, you know, carry on to like where the helicopter was gonna find him. That's how the X-Men were gonna know where he was at.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
no, nope. it's just there. Because we go back to Cyclops. He's wandering through this cavern that was underneath the museum
the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know, but he runs into the Pharaoh, the living Pharaoh, that's alive.
Because he has 1,000 lives, or 10,000 lives.
Pretty sure most of them, Pharaohs, are not immortal, though.
This one is.
They all died. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where we end this issue. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this X-Men story.